In this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast, we're sitting down with Ian Mondrick, a Lehigh Valley native and writer behind Stashbox, a psychedelic 36-page horror comic now fundraising on Kickstarter. Ian breaks down what goes into writing comics, where the idea from Stashbox came from, why backing indie creators, especially right now, matters more than ever. And we even talk about some of the interesting things that they're doing here, like printing this on old newspaper type stock. So we're going to get into this in a second. I want to thank our partners, WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Health Network, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin of Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, and of course, our friends at Banco Beverage Company. Now, let's start talking to Ian Mondrick and learn more about Stashbox and how you can help support this indie comic. Ian, hello. Hey. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Great. Your room is kind of how I expected it a little bit. Like, I love it. It just makes me feel like I'm talking to a comic book author. You're supposed to have all those in the background.
Yeah. The recent conquest up there, right by my finger, I just finished the 6th Frank Herbert Dune novel. Man, I got to tell you what, if you've got the longevity to go through like a couple thousand pages, man, it gets weird and it pays off. And now I've become the Dune person in every one of my groups. Like, it's like, I have to, you know, they have to share the memes with me. I have to make weird comments about shit they don't understand, stuff they don't understand.
I know that. Yeah. I feel bad. The latest book I read was Jack Reacher, one of the Jack Reacher books. And I watch that now. That series is insane because I just turned my brain off. It's like watching 80s action flicks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The clips I've seen of Reacher, I get big like Elmore Leonard vibes.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Great. I love it.
Yeah, but like, you know? Pulpy crime stuff is good. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always have to be elevated. And, you know, sometimes I just like, you know, bad guys and good guys duking it out. Yeah, it's great.
True. No, and that's truly what it is. And that's why I enjoy it. And it's great. And the writing in that is probably not as good as some of the stuff that you're putting out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I want to learn more about it. In fact, I got to read this morning the first 20 pages of Stashbox. And I got to say, you and Frederick Hornung, the artist, incredible, insane. I want to learn more. I want to read more, but I want to learn first about yourself because you are a Lehigh Valley native who is a comic book author. How does that happen? When did you first sort of, you know, officially go from I'm a big comic fan to I'm going to start writing?
So I, you know, like a lot of kids that grew up in the 80s, I was a big comic book fan. I remember going to the Acme back when it was across from the Ground Round over on Grape Street and in Whitehall. And I remember grabbing like multi-packs of comics there. I got almost all of the issues from Kraven's Last Hunt, this really great, trippy, Amazing Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man. It was awesome. And like, this was the early stuff that I watched. And also being a kid of the 80s, you can't escape like getting exposed to that either, you know, terribly violent or terribly horrific stuff early on. Like I had seen the Fly by the age of 9 and I'd seen Aliens like when it came out or whatever. So there was all that stuff. So big comics fan. And then, you know, you kind of drift away. And I did a bunch of other things like, I did a radio show for Muhlenberg College for a while. I was like a club DJ for a little while. And then we moved away for a couple of years. We moved to the Las Vegas Valley out in Nevada. And I started writing again and I worked with a couple of people who were big into comics and they were like, well, here's what you've missed over the last 20 years. And from there, like, and as someone who had always written for myself or like written things, always been a creative writer, it kind of transitioned from being like a reinvigorated comic book fan in like the early aughts to writing reviews and critiques of comics and things like that for some journalism sites. And then I think you just kind of get the feeling where it's like, I think I could do this myself.
Right, I have a story to tell.
Right. Yeah. And it was like, you know, can I make this happen? And then what really, I think, sets comic book making apart from everything else is just the collaboration. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming it's similar to script writers who, you know, see their movie up on the screen. But like every person's hands that I put my script into to make the comic book, they make it the script better. right? Like they add more visual depth or they have more references. And like, that's really the best part about it for me. And that's kind of why I keep doing it. Mainly because I think I still have stories to tell, but mainly just because like, man, the collaboration on this is just awesome. And to be able to work with a team and come together and like create something together is just, there's nothing like it for me.
How does that kind of work? First, I want to learn a little bit about writing. Is it, you know, there's different types of writing. If I'm going to write for a short story, a novel, a television show, a movie, is comic book writing similar to writing for a TV? Are you giving like artists, I guess, points as you're doing it? Does it depend on the author? Can you kind of describe that process?
Yeah. It's great. So one of the great things about comic book writing is that there's no approved format. I'm sure that if you're writing for, you know, DC or Marvel and you're doing their monthly books, there's some sort of standardization, but it's not like script writing where there's like, this is the agreed upon format. This is how you do things. So that opens it up for a lot of interpretation as well. And I think that also it depends for me, it depends a lot on the person that I'm writing for. Like if I don't know who I'm writing for, if like when I started writing Stashbox, I didn't have an artist in mind. It was just an idea I wanted to get out. So it's kind of like you'd imagine, it's like panel descriptions and then dialogue beneath that panel description. And then that's assembled onto a page. So I was doing really, really detailed descriptions of things, how I saw it in my mind's eye. Now I'm working on the final issue of a 4-issue series with another co-creator named Benjamin Philby. And we have such a shorthand together now, and I understand his style so well that the panel descriptions for this final book are like 2 sentences at most. Yeah, because there's that co-creating spirit where it's like, I don't have to get into the details of it. If there's something I need on the panel for the, you know, the readers to see, then I'll put it in there. But a lot of the stuff, the set dressing, the atmosphere, all that kind of thing, I leave that up to him because, you know, I know what he's going to put out and he knows what I want. And, you know, we both kind of know how to make it look great. So it really does vary. I prefer, all of my best books have been with collaborators that I've worked with over and over again. Frederick is no exception. We became really fast friends and we had a meeting, like a strategy meeting on Friday. And it was like, I'm ready to do my next thing. I'm calling you first. You know, and that speaks into the whole vibe of the book, but I guess we can talk about that later.
Yeah. We'll definitely get to that. I kind of still want to get to like how you even got into this world. You know, for maybe a younger person who's thinking about, I would want to maybe try this one because you're dealing with these artists. Well, how do you get into that? Like what was your initial like road or your path into making your first comic?
Well, so that's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question. So really it is, it's just like anything, there's a community out there. And one of the great things about the internet is really brought niche communities together, right? And giving them like rallying points and giving them like kind of safe spaces to kind of exist. That was my entryway into it is you start reading comic books and you start, especially indie books, like they're all over Kickstarter. I think there's something like 300 comic projects funding on Kickstarter at the moment, right? So there's lots of stuff out there, but it's also just, you know, whatever social media platforms you're on or whatever sort of, you know, ways that you can communicate on the internet, like Discord or whatever, any kind of forums or anything, is just become part of the community. Is just talk to the writers, talk to those people on social media, and like you'll start to gain that experience and that feel. And from there, you'll have access to a ton of resources. Like there's people who have newsletters on how to write comics, on how to draw. There's all kinds of that stuff. So the best part of, you know, collaborating is being part of this community. And the easiest way to get in is just to start being part of the community. Just start taking an interest in comics, start talking to people about it online.
It's so wild now. You know, I at least take it for granted at least like once a day, just the technology available. You talk about the 80s. I'm the same way. You know, I didn't write comics, but I was so enamored with them. And it just feels like the way to connect or to talk to people would be writing a letter to the editor. And now you can go possibly interact with that author immediately on a Discord channel or something. So it feels like that give and take and the feedback between the audience and the people putting stuff out is so much quicker and Hopefully yeah. more positive.
It all depends, right? There's positive and there's, you know, controversial areas of the
fandom,
community.
Right.
But I think one of the best examples is I do, there is a comic book journalism site called the Comic Book Yeti, and I'm in their Discord mm-hmm. server, and I do a community hangout I did it about 2 hours ago. We do it on Sundays. And one of the people who joined is someone who is actively working on manga and works for an online comic platform and had so much information to give the group just about here's how I pitch, here's how it works with editors, here's what they're looking for. And you go, this is like a masterclass. This is something that you would pay for, and you're getting 40 minutes of just really good knowledge, you know? And but before we started taping, you and I talked briefly about, you know, the change from like Twitter. And it's like someone in a group call, in a group discussion was like, start a newsletter right now. Start gaining people that want to hear from you specifically. And it was great advice then. And it's even more important now post, you know, the change of social media and everything.
Yeah. It's weird not to go off on a tangent or anything, but it is weird how a couple of years ago, we did have those pinch points of accounts where it's like, you had to be on Facebook. You had to be on Twitter. You had to be on Instagram. Now you don't necessarily if your audience isn't necessarily there. And it's interesting, like that you can go on Discord and maybe do a lot of your communicating there and not have to use Facebook. But I digress. I want to talk about comics.
Sure.
And well, I guess we will kind of talk about social media when we talk about Kickstarter. I know that this isn't your first Kickstarter campaign, right? So talk a little bit about, you know, fundraising through Kickstarter compared to what you would have had to do 10, 15 years ago, which I imagine wouldn't have been fun.
Well, the best thing about Kickstarter is it doesn't really require one person's permission to make it happen, right? Like, you know, we're not, and I think there's a great democratizing, and maybe this isn't a great comparison, but something like Spotify, right? Like, I know that Spotify really doesn't pay the artists what they're worth and everything,
right,
but
sure.
But they really knock down that door of needing to
know
an A&R and get a record deal so you can get a video on MTV so then you can be a musical artist. Now anybody can just upload their stuff to SoundCloud or Spotify and you can grow your own organic following, right? And I think that's the big difference between then and now. But I also think in terms of I think the real advantage to crowdfunding is that it does kind of speak a little bit to the nature of how things have been gamified recently. And I think it also really speaks to participation. Like if I wasn't doing this on Kickstarter, the other way to do it would be to self-fund everything myself and then open it up on a web store and make it available for sale, which is not as exciting as I need your help to bring this project to life, right? Like if you take an active interest now, you're going to get this reward of this
thing.
And
it's much more economically risky for you to do it that way. Whereas you can say, hey, you're kind of printing on demand a little bit when you're finding out how many backers you have and all that. It gives you just it's a little bit more convenient.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of an ask for, you know, the person backing it because you're offering.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. You're offering up money, you know, sight unseen. But, you know, again, as you said, this will be my sixth time going to Kickstarter. It's my second time this year, which is like a lot for me.
Yeah.
The trust that I've built up with the people who've backed my books, I think is what allows you to kind of keep doing it. Right. Is that.
Keep going.
I was going to say, not only is it a matter of like of marketing it well and discussing well, but it's also a matter of like backing it up with a quality book, right? Like then when people get it, they were like, this was awesome to read. This was a good time.
Well, I was going to segue right into the awesome book. Well, the book that's coming out. No, it works great.
Hey.
Cashbox. I think it's the alternative cover. And then
so that
amazing
cover, that is that is the main cover. That is by That is by a gentleman named Hampus Flink. He's got a tremendous name, and he did amazing.
I love that name.
Yeah, I love it too, man. He's been so great. I've been like primarily promoting this a lot on Blue Sky, and he has been like such a help, like retweeting and everything.
That's
so the other cover that you showed is by the kind of EC Comics modeled cover. That's by you know, co-creator and the guy who did all of the interior art, colors, letters. Frederick Hornung, who just kind of knocked
it
out of the park as well. Yeah. I love them both.
Honest with you. Like, I was reading this thing, and I don't want to go. I'm going to show one page, so nobody don't get mad.
Oh, sure.
But no, like this, it's legit. Like this is so good. I would like to read more. So, let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, I am not the technical comic expert. Okay, I'm a comic fan, but we're talking, this is clearly a horror comic. I know that they've always been around, but are they kind of coming back more? Are they gaining more popularity? I just went through some of, I think it's The Immortal Hulk.
The Immortal Hulk is insanely good. Yeah, that is
right. And that was much more, I'm like, I'm reading it, I'm like, wait a minute, this is starting to go. It was much more of a horror comic. Is this kind of a genre that's kind of swinging back up? Or
I would say it's been on the rise, especially in comics, for a long time now. I published my first horror comic through Kickstarter in 2019. And it was already kind of in full swing, and I think it's kind of hit the peak. Listen, I think obviously right now everything is kind of very tense and uncertain, and I think horror really kind of provides a kind of a funnel for that, you know, kind of anxiety and fear. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it. And it's always, and here's the thing: I don't try to be a horror writer. Right. Like I go out and I try to write a story and everything devolves into horror, or evolves, I guess, either way. But
why is that? Is it just like, is it the genre that you're interested in, or is there something specific? Or
I think a lot of it is me working through my own fears. Okay. Right. I think if we went through all of my books, you could see I could probably explain to you a very palpable fear of something. Right. And Stashbox. Mm-hmm. There's a big part of that in the book. I have a son who's 14, right? Okay. So in 4 or 5 years, he will be an adult, right? With air quotes. Mm-hmm. And there's this period of time. I don't know if you feel the same way, but like between 18 and like maybe 25, I really didn't have it together. Do you know what I mean? Some might argue that I don't have it together. Some might argue that I don't have it together now in my late 40s. But I definitely had it less together in that 7-year period. And they give you this opportunity to be an adult, right? Mm-hmm. And do adult things. And sometimes you're not prepared for it. And realizing that I have a child that's about to go into that area, and realize how one snap decision could drastically affect the outcome of his life, right? Yeah. Or and I think also, you know, speaking to that, is almost kind of like seeing your kids or seeing someone you care about transform into something that doesn't make any sense to you. Mm-hmm. is something where it's just like my son has a passion for playing a particular game. He's gotten a lot of like people playing this game that he's kind of created on this platform, and it's incredible. And like to me, I'm like, it doesn't translate in the same way, but I have to like reframe my perception of what I think is cool, right? And it's like, so all of that
very creates, much like, I'm sorry,
I would say all of that kind of combines together to create this fear, and that's like the fear for me running through Stashbox, right? Like that's where I get the horror from.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health, and together we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials, and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities, because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernardin with Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Benko Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring these episodes to you. And what I like too is this suburban kind of, well, not kind of, the suburban aspect of it. You know, it's something that I was just thinking about the other day, as that's like the reality now for a lot of childhoods, is living out in that suburban type atmosphere. Not so much, you know, the small town that maybe Michael Myers was in. It's more like the developments or so out in Nazareth or something like that. So tackling horror from that perspective, I think, is interesting as well. Can you, without giving things away, can you talk a little bit about the content of the comic?
Sure. And I mean, it draws a lot on spending time in the suburbs. Again, like I've lived in rural areas, I've lived in cities, and I've lived in suburbs. And you know, a lot of the content of this comic is about the stuff that's hiding underneath those manicured lawns and inside those basements and garages. And, you know, in the rural area, you don't see much of anything. Everything is kind of obscured. And there's naturally, you know, horror derived from feeling alone or feeling isolated. Right.
Right.
And when you live in the city, the things that are scary in the city usually present themselves. It's, you know, getting mugged, or it's someone following you down a dark alley or something. Like it's all of that stuff is there, but in the suburbs, everything is kind of painted over and hidden. And I think that's the thing that really, it's like, everything looks fine, but it's not fine. And this is obviously something that, like, you know, David Lynch explored in Blue Velvet and things like that.
Sure, but still. But
I find it fascinating. Right. And I think it's a great opportunity to mine horror. And that's what a lot of it is a lot of it is what's going on right under our noses. Right.
And I want to make sure that, you know, the main thing here, we're talking about all this good stuff, but it's important to remember that you're local, you know, you're Lehigh Valley resident. So by supporting this, you are also supporting a local Lehigh Valley artist as well. So talk about the Kickstarter. When this comes out, it will be live. This is starting on April 7th.
Yep.
Is it easier just to find people just to search Ian Mondrick on there, or should they go to your website? What's the best way to give it information?
There's a couple of ways to do this. The easiest way is to just go to stashboxcomic.com. Stashboxcomic.com is going to take you right to the Kickstarter page. Like, it'll take you there right now. We'll be launching early tomorrow morning, probably about 7 a.m. But that is the best way to do it. If you're familiar with the Kickstarter project, you can always just go into the app or the website and you can search for Stashbox. I'm probably going to be the first thing that pops up. So that's the easiest way to find it. You know, we've got a lot of, it's always a fun part of the campaign for me to figure out, like what the rewards are going to be. So we have a couple of really great prints from some local artists. We have some great prints from some artists. I don't know why I said local.
That's all right.
And we've also got, you can get original art from the book. You can buy original pages from the book. You can get, we have like a mystery sketch thing from Frederick. He'll draw you a little portrait sketch. And if you are like an up and coming comic book creator, or if you're currently creating comics, we've also got a tier in there where Frederick will draw a cover for you.
Wow. How about it? That's pretty. And this art is like out of this world too. Your writing's great, right? But look at that stuff. This is like, I love it.
I've often said this. It's like, even if you hate my story, you're still going to really enjoy the art.
Oh, it's so good. Like, once I opened it up and, you know, admittedly, I'm like have it on a tablet, but still it has that feel. Oh, this has made me remember there's something in there about newspaper print, right? Like, what is that?
We are really going for that look, right? Like when I was a kid, you know, you got comics in like one of two places or one of three places. You got them at the grocery store, you got them at the newsstand, or you went to a comic book shop. But then when I was older and I went to places in the Lehigh Valley, like there was a head shop in Easton called Utopia. Right. And when I went there, like when I was like, you know, 18 or 19, I would see there were racks of comics and it was like the Furious Freak Brothers. Right. And all of these like underground comics. And that's where they would have a Vault of Horror and Tales from the Crypts and like stuff that was kind of off the beaten path. Yeah,
well, you feel like you shouldn't be looking at it, right?
That's exactly it. And that's the whole kind of motif for this book. We wanted to look and feel like those comics. We wanted to look and feel a little bit different. So it's printed in the old school EC comic size, which is like A4. That's like a European sizing, but it's like almost like 8x12. So it's a little bit bigger than a modern comic. Yeah.
Like the magazine.
Right. And we're using high quality newsprint, so it has that feel like an old comic. Obviously, the look of everything is supposed to evoke that, like, you know, old VHS copy kind of look and those old things. And the whole thing is kind of about contraband, right? A stash box is something where, like, you keep stuff that you don't want people to find or stuff that's dangerous. The comic is, you know, it's an adult horror comic, right? Like there is like violence and gore and death in there. And like, I think a lot of good art is transgressive. And I don't think this book is necessarily transgressive, but I think it is like trying to appeal to that sense of like contraband, right? Like maybe something that is not supposed to be for mass consumption.
Sure. The first nine, it's intense. It's like, I'm reading it downstairs. I'm near my, I'm like, she can't see this. And that's, not a bad thing. It's just, it was created for an adult like myself who is into that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad that we were able to connect on this. You know, what's up for this after this? Do people just stay with you connected on Kickstarter? What's the best way for people to continually stay in contact with you?
The two best places for me right now are, you can sign up for my newsletter. You can go to ianmondrick.com. There's a tab on there for my newsletter where you can sign up. It's called The Blind Box. It comes out about once a month. I'll probably do two or three this month just because of the Kickstarter. I try not to spam people. And then the other place is on Blue Sky. You can search for me on Blue Sky. My username on most platforms is Ian Face, just because that's like an old DJ name that I used to have. But those are the two best places to find me. Usually, if you back the book on Kickstarter, you always get like a survey at the end that, you know, asks for your shipping address so I can get you all of your rewards. At the end of that survey, I'll always include a question about, do you want to join my newsletter? So if you want to back the book and you want to follow my stuff, but you really don't want to do anything else, you can go to stashboxcomic.com, back it. And then when the survey comes out, just ask to sign up for the newsletter and you'll get it.
And then do you go out at all, like, I don't know, in the spring and summer, do you do events and stuff locally or any of that?
So I think this year is going to be the first year I start doing stuff locally. I want to do a bunch of the local cons just because the reason before is just kind of like, I didn't have enough stuff, right? I didn't have enough. And, you know, and I have friends who table at the big shows like in New York and San Diego and all over. And I'm definitely not of the size of that yet, right? Like, and also the goal is really not to make a ton of money. The goal is to like get the projects out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you don't want to overextend yourself. Part of this is staying sane as well. But no, it's interesting. It's I just find it fascinating how, you know, we're so scared, not scared, but we just kind of anticipated the internet ruining everything, and it has. But for stuff like this, it's kind of made it easier to connect locally, which is kind of incongruous to what we kind of thought. So it's great that using Kickstarter to support a local artist is a viable option. I'm looking forward to it.
You need those hubs, man. You need those places where people can congregate. And Lehigh Valley with Love is one of those places, man. Like, it's something that, like, universally, when I tell people about it, they go, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And it's like, so there's like, there are rallying points. You know what I mean? And I think
at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, we're trying to survive as well. But if we could be somewhere where we could talk about stuff like this, because it's it's genuinely interesting. It's great what you are doing. And obviously, you and tandem with your collaborator. This stuff is great. It's exciting. It was exciting to read it. Like, I read it this morning. I'm like, oh, I get to talk to this guy today. Like, for legitimately, it was really neat. So I'm looking forward to checking it out and backing it as well. And I encourage everybody, hey, at least give it a look, you know, head over to the Kickstarter and know that there are local artists doing some great stuff. So Ian, always a pleasure. I'm glad we were able to time this perfectly, because we've been talking for a couple
minutes.
I feel like it worked out great. So
I'm incredibly thankful for all the work that you do and having me on. It was an absolute blast.
All right. So Ian, we'll be sure to check out Stashbox. So go to stashboxcomic.com.
Yes.
That's the best place to start. You can also, if you want to, search on Kickstarter and Ian Face on Blue Sky, which is the first Blue Sky shout out we've had, I'm sure, of many more to come.
Oh, wow.
We love it. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, George.